Kroger Tender Ray Beef, no other beef so fresh can be so tender, presents Hearts in Harmony, transcribed. K is for Kroger, C is for cut, B is for beef. KCB means Kroger cut beef, and Kroger cut beef means more meat for your money. That's right, ladies. Kroger cut beef gives you more meat, less waste. You see, before the meat is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess bone, excess waste, and stringy ends. Yes, that's before the meat is weighed and priced. And that's why Kroger cut beef gives you more meat for your money. It's top U.S. government grades of beef. Meat that's tender, juicy, rich red, and marbled with just the right amount of flavory fat. Yes, it's a better value in top-grade beef. Now, for example, let's take a Kroger cut sirloin steak. Before the steak is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes the stringy end, excess waste, and excess bone. So you get a better value because you don't pay steak price for stringy meat, excess bone, or waste. But whether you buy a steak or roast, you receive more meat, less waste. That's at your Kroger store. Visit your neighborhood Kroger store soon. Make it a rule to buy Kroger cut beef and get more meat for your money. And now, Hearts in Harmony. Last Friday, young Freddie Lang received a phone call from Helen Burroughs, a girl he knew in New York in his poorer days some years ago. Penny Gibbs was in the house when he got the call, and afterwards, Freddie said to her,
"Look, Penny, I don't want to give you the wrong idea, but, well, look, don't tell Nora anything about that call."
Penny promised not to say anything to Freddie's young wife, and then Freddie said,
"I gotta go out for a while, Penny. If Nora asks where I am, tell her I went to the drugstore or something, and that I'll be back in a little while. It's nothing to worry about, I promise you, Gibbsy, so don't give it a thought."
So Penny took Freddie's word for it, and over the weekend turned her attentions to the proposed home for children, a memorial to Barry Carlton, the man she would have married had death not intervened. It's early evening in the Gibbs home now, and Penny is talking to her friend, Nurse Angela Brill. Penny says,
"If you hadn't been able to get away from the hospital tonight, I was going to drive to Heatherton to see you, Angela."
"Oh, Penny, are the plans for the house that near completion?"
"No, but for the first time, my thinking about the project is clear. I know now what Rossville needs and how the Barry Carlton Memorial can do the most good for the most people."
"Oh, you sound as if there's been some change in your thinking."
"Mm-hmm. There's been a complete change in my thinking, Angela. That's why I wanted to come to Heatherton to talk to you."
"Oh, that wouldn't have been necessary, Penny. Anything you decide is all right with me."
"Well, since you're going to end this with me, I want you to know beforehand just what's involved. It's not going to be a play school for small children, Angela."
"Oh, isn't there a need for one?"
"No, not an additional one. I've talked to welfare people and to members of the school board and the women's club, and I find that other agencies are handling the local situation much more than satisfactorily. But what Rossville does need is a community center for teenage youngsters."
"Well, almost every town without one needs one, Penny. I know in Heatherton, too many boys and girls of high school age hang around the drugstore and pool hall."
"Yeah, they do in Rossville, too. But it isn't because they want to, Angela. It's because they have no other place to go. I mean, any other place to go where they can be together, anyway. Angela, the house I've rented is enormous. It'd make a marvelous youth center."
"Oh, I know it would, but won't you have to change a lot of the remodeling plans?"
"No, just a few minor details. The basement room I was going to turn into a playground will make a wonderful place for dancing. We'll install a jukebox for music, of course."
"And what we get from the jukebox could help pay for other things. We'll have refreshments, won't we?"
"Yeah, we will. The jukebox nickels should pay for about all the refreshments, I guess, because we'll make the refreshments free. At least, I think they should be."
"Well, not everything would be free, but we can keep things down to a few cents the way they do at other places that are run on a non-profit basis. The cafeteria at the hospital, for instance, is operated at cost, and we get a perfectly wonderful lunch."
"You could be a help, Angela, if you find out how the hospital cafeteria works. I don't know anything at all about buying food in large quantities, but we won't go in for meals, I don't think. Just sandwiches, ice cream, cake, soft drinks, things like that."
"Where will we have the sandwich counter? Upstairs?"
"No, I think a good place for it would be at one end of the dance floor where the stairs go up to the kitchen. You have no idea how big that basement room is."
"Oh, I'm anxious to see the house."
"And I'm anxious to get it remodeled and open. Upstairs, I've had a wall knocked out between the living room and dining room. It's an enormous space. It's perfect for ping pong tables and a couple of billiard tables. Maybe even space for a shuffleboard.
Oh, Penny, the play sounds as if it's going to be fun.
It's going to be more than fun, Angela. It's going to be a blessing for the teenagers in Rossville. I think I'll have some of the walls on the second floor knocked out, too, and build a library and reading room on one side of the house. Maybe a couple of small workshops for the boys and sewing rooms for the girls on the other side of the second floor.
Don't be surprised if you find some of the boys at sewing machines and some of the girls at workbenches.
No, don't worry. I won't be a bit surprised. Well, what do you think of the plans?
I think they're wonderful, Penny. A youth center or community house or whatever it's called is something every town should have. So many children go wrong because they don't know what to do and have no place to go during their idle hours.
Well, this is where they can go and have a good time and stay out of trouble. You and Dr. Evans and I'll have our hands full seeing they do have a good time, too.
And stay out of trouble.
Oh, Angela, they won't go looking for trouble if they're having a good time. And if they know that the house is open to them at all hours of the day. And until whatever hour at night we find we need to be open. I understand that some youngsters hate to go home.
Well, only out of boredom with themselves and because they're not tired enough to go home. Or because there's nothing to attract them at home.
Well, we'll give them a home that's attractive. But we'll have problem, too, Angela. The place won't be appreciated by all the children. Some will abuse it. We'll have to be mother, father, teacher, and guide to lots of them.
Dr. Evans is wonderful with young people, and you and I have motives that will make it easy for us to handle them, too.
Yes, I hope so. You know, when I first thought of starting this with you, I only had small children in mind. The kind we'd like to mother as our own, but I suppose older children, boys of 14, 15, 16, even some as old as 18, need help as much as the little ones do.
Sometimes more than the little ones, Penny. Their habits have taken shape. They form prejudices and unhealthy outlooks on life. Well, that is, some of them have. They've taken shape, so to speak, and they're hard to reform.
We're taking on a great responsibility, aren't we?
A frightening one in many ways. You and Dr. Evans and I won't be able to handle it alone.
Yes, I realize that, but I want to go ahead with it, Angela. I'd like to devote my life to it if necessary. It'll be doing something worthwhile. Something I know Barrett would want me to be doing. You know, when he was alive, he often spoke of doing things for the poor and underprivileged. He adored children and young people.
I know. They say one of the first things he asked about when he came to after the accident was if the little girl who had caused the accident was all right.
Yes, they told me that. You know, he didn't blame that little girl for being on the highway. He blamed himself for not seeing her sooner than he did. Oh, Angela, if only he had, things would be so different. Well, there's no use talking about that, is there?
It isn't smart.
For some reason or other, I do lots of things that aren't smart.
Well, starting this community center isn't one of them.
No, I'm sure of that. Jed's finished with most of the remodeling plans. We'll start construction in a while, and before long, the place will be open.
Oh, I'm getting anxious already. I suppose you're going to get some help from welfare agencies and the women's club, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in passing the word around among families with high school children.
Yeah, the women's clubs and the Parent Teachers Association are both enthusiastic. They're going to give us a lot of publicity. Everybody in town will know about the center. Yep, we'll probably have half the kids in Rossville at the center the first afternoon.
Well, maybe we'd better rent a circus tent for the grand opening, Penny.
Oh, maybe we'd better. At any rate, Angela, whether we get off to a good start or a bad one, I know we're doing a good thing. And we should get good results. Freddie, where are you?
I'm in here, Nora, in the living room.
Oh, I thought Penny was in here with Miss Brill.
Oh, they both left a little while ago. Penny drove Miss Brill down to the railroad station.
Oh. What are you reading?
A book.
Oh, I know that. I meant, what's the title?
Title? Funny, I don't know. Let's see. Oh, Men of Easton.
Now, Freddie, you didn't have to look to tell me what it was.
But I did. I just picked the book up a couple of minutes ago and started to read. Not much a book, either.
Crickets, Freddie, what's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing, Nora.
Yes, there is. Something's bothering you. You forgot to fix that faucet in the kitchen, and you promised me faithfully you'd attend to it tonight.
All right, I'll do it right now, Nora. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Well, Cricket, you're forgetting everything, aren't you?
I said I'll fix the faucet now.
You don't have to. I fixed it myself.
Oh, I suppose now you're going to tell me that I never do anything for you.
Freddie, you don't have to talk to me like that. I didn't say anything to make you angry.
Well, you keep pestering me.
I'm sorry if I do.
Well, being sorry doesn't help matters any.
Freddie, where are you going?
Going out, where I have to say that I'm sorry about something else.
Wait, Freddie.
All right. Well, what do you want?
Freddie, darling, what's the matter? What's bothering you? What is it?
Nothing at all.
But I know that's not true. I can tell. I want to know what it is. Tell me, Freddy, please.
There you go, pestering again. I'll be back in a little while, Nora. I think I need a walk.
But, Freddy, I'm not trying to pester you. I just want... Freddy! Oh, Freddy! Hello, I'm home. Hey, where's everybody of you? Oh, Nora. Oh, darling, what's the matter?
Oh, Penny.
Oh, Nora, what are you crying about?
Nothing important, Penny. I'm just feeling sorry for myself, I guess.
Where's Freddy? He was here when Angela and I left.
Went out for a walk.
I see. And that's why you're crying, isn't it? You don't have to answer that if you don't want to, Nora.
No, I don't mind, Penny. No, it's not because he went for a walk. It's because of the way he talked to me, his tone of voice. He was angry, and I don't know why.
Darling, maybe it was just your imagination.
No, Penny, I could see it in his face. I annoyed him. I didn't mean to. I tried to tell him I was sorry, but he wouldn't listen to me.
Are you sure he was angry, Nora? It's awfully easy, darling, to misunderstand a look or a tone of voice.
No, I didn't misunderstand, Penny. Something's wrong somewhere. I've noticed it for the last few days. Freddy has something on his mind. He's upset. He's worried about something.
Well, he's been working hard for a long time, Nora. And, darling, he has lots of problems. Now there's the farm.
No, if it had something to do with the farm, he'd tell me about it. No, this is something else, Penny. Maybe you know what it is. Has he ever said anything to you?
No. No, Nora, if Freddy has some kind of problem, I have no idea what it is.
But you think he does have a problem, don't you?
I don't know, Nora. Darling, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just a mood he's in. But Freddy isn't a little boy anymore, Nora. If he is in some kind of difficulty, he'll manage it all right.
Penny knows that Freddy has a problem. Will Freddy be able to solve it before he's brought more unhappiness to his young and bewildered wife? And will Freddy's problem involve Penny, too? Be sure to listen to the next dramatic episode of Hearts in Harmony. KCB. KCB. KCB means Kroger Cut Beef, and Kroger Cut Beef means more meat for your money. You see, Kroger Cut Beef gives you more meat, less waste, because before the meat is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess bone, excess waste, and stringy ends. Yes, Kroger gives you more meat, less waste, and its top U.S. government grades of beef, tender, juicy, rich red, and marbled with just the right amount of flavory fat. So visit your Kroger store soon. Order your favorite cut of steak or roast. If you buy a Kroger cut round steak or roast, notice that the Kroger method of cutting beef gives you a minimum of bone and removes excess waste before the steak or roast is weighed and priced. Remember, whether you buy a steak or roast, Kroger cut beef gives you more meat for your money. And remember, too, ladies, Kroger cut beef is available only at Kroger stores. So plan now to visit your neighborhood Kroger store. There's where you'll find delicious beef, top-grade beef. And there at your Kroger store is where you get more meat for your money. For Kroger cut beef gives you more meat, less waste. Get your share of this tremendous value without delay at your neighborhood Kroger store. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, for another exciting transcribed chapter of Hearts in Harmony.